masters of light. Is the Cold War really over? Masters of light. We're the universal soldier into the night. The world is getting older. In Roswell when they crash, the time warped us fast. Was it a real atomic blast? Masters of light, come through the night.
Welcome to the new time for new realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and what you just heard there was a part of Masters of Light by Duke Williams and the Extremes. I'm so happy to be following James Gilliland. I'll be broadcasting an interview I did with him coming up on December 9th that I did at the East Seti Ranch that I visited James this summer. So stay tuned in 2 weeks for that. But tonight I have an exciting program, and this is sponsored by Vital Dash Reactions, a new form of molecular hydrogen. To find out more about them, go to vital-reaction.com. Okay, stay tuned.
Life is moving quickly. Masters of Light.
Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our body, mind, and spirit. That's why I'm talking today to Sarah Adams. She's with a product called Molecular Hydrogen. We'll also be talking to the founder, executive director of the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation Institute, and that's Tyler LeBaron.
Which is a nonprofit, a company that allows you to learn about the education and awareness and the accurate information about hydrogen to date with studies and leading researchers globally.
So what is so great about this product? I mean, Tyler will talk to us a little bit more about the science, but what do you really like about molecular hydrogen? Why is it good for you and the body, and what does it do?
So I'm out here in Boulder, Colorado, and I work and support a company called Vital Reaction. And Vital Reaction has selected some top methods of administration for molecular hydrogen. And one of our products is an effervescing tablet that you simply drop in water, and it effervesces and creates a cloud of nanobubbles of molecular hydrogen. And the other product we work with is an inhalation device that is very similar to an oxygen bar or an oxygen unit, but it actually delivers molecular hydrogen gas that you inhale via a cannula. And what's really fascinating about molecular hydrogen, it's gained significance in about 2007 from Nature Journal of Medicine, but it was discovered in 1975 by Dr. Kenji Ono in Japan when they were studying the effects of microclustering in water. And what they discovered was the smallest atom, which is hydrogen on the periodic table, is a very fascinating atom that can covalently bond to another hydrogen atom, and that's molecular hydrogen. So its atomic size is actually 2. And it being so small, it is the simplest and smallest and most abundant element in the universe. In fact, it's one of the 4 elements present living, along with carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen.
How come people haven't talked about hydrogen before as a supplement?
Well, it's an emerging medical gas. And so molecular hydrogen consists of 2 hydrogen atoms that are bonded together as HH, dihydrogen, or molecular hydrogen. That is the primary form in which hydrogen is found. So it's a tasteless, odorless gas that is actually neutrally charged and highly bioavailable. And it's an emerging medical gas with therapeutic potential due to its size, its selectivity, its permeability, and it having 0 toxic byproduct. And so I can get into a little bit more about that. I don't want to, I want to let Tyler speak to the science of it.
Why do you like it so much? What has it done for you? I mean, let's talk about just the practical aspects. Why are you so interested in this?
So it's actually, there's therapeutic potential essentially every organ of the human body and in over 170 different disease models. And so when you're taking molecular hydrogen, whether it is ingestion via drinking hydrogen saturated water or inhalation and you're breathing it, or administration via IV, what happens is it targets only the most harmful free radicals, which is specifically the hydroxyl radical and the peroxynitrite. And if we go back to, you know, the overall theory of aging, which is the free radical theory of aging, we're exposed to so much free radicals that build up and cause oxidative stress. Oxidative stress has a negative impact to the eyes, heart, skin, kidney, joints, lung, brain, immune system, blood vessels, overall organs, and that can lead to, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, asthma, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ADHD, autism, chronic inflammation, diabetes, aging, cell death. And so the more free radicals you accumulate, the more oxidative stress builds. The more oxidative stress builds, that leads to inflammation and cell death. More cell death causes disease and ultimately death, period. And so if we can go to the root of the problem, which is the free radical specifically, and due to the size and permeability of molecular hydrogen, it actually can pass through the cell membrane and translocate to at a subcellular level and exist within the nucleus of the cell and target the most harmful free radical and convert it to water and put the body into a homeostatic environment. And as we all know, when in homeostasis, the body can actually defend against cell death and disease and heal itself. And so this is an amazing discovery.
Beyond the science, what do you feel when you take this product? I mean, the science is great and the science for everything, but what do you personally benefit? How do you feel?
Me personally, my brain power, improved cognitive function, and because it can pass the blood-brain barrier, it eliminates brain plaque buildup, which is why we're seeing reverse symptoms of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. I have less inflammation, so I have less pain in my back. I'm an athlete, so when I work out and when I train, I'm able to perform longer and recover faster, which is the key to success as an athlete. I have increased energy. Me personally, I have a pretty powerful brain, and to be able to harness brain power allows me to perform kind of like a secret smart tool, a secret smart weapon, if you will. Hydration levels at the cellular level, because the byproduct is water at the cellular level, I'm hydrating my cells from within, which also supports, you know, anti-aging and my skin tone.
You're hydrated, you're less dried out, you're more active, you're clearer, your thought processes are more functioning to a greater degree, you feel smarter. Is this all the benefits that you're getting?
Basically, because of its cell signaling factors, it's the most powerful antioxidant and anti-inflammatory ever. So from a better brain, reduced inflammation, overall cellular health, allowing my body to have better performance when it comes to the endogenous system, you know, increasing my own antioxidant system, which is glutathione and SOD and catalase, being able to have better sleep. It does improve sleeping patterns. It reduces the hunger hormone, which is ghrelin. So overall weight and stability and healthy weight management, increased athletic performance and improved recovery time. And then again, going back to hydration, which if you can approach anti-aging and overall, you know, wellness from within the body versus topically, it's the number one thing people should be taking right now.
So it is like the major anti-aging supplement, you're saying?
Correct. It is the perfect antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and cell signaling molecule. And what's really fascinating about this is it's actually performing, it's increasing the performance of other supplements and protocols patients are taking. So it actually increases the bioavailability and the absorption levels of an appropriate diet, or if you're taking like vitamin C or CoQ10 or glutathione, it actually increases the performance of those additional supplements within the body.
Really? So it's good to just take with these other supplements, you're saying? And I mean, it enhances the bioavailability of other supplements?
Exactly. And what's really incredible about this is, you know, I'm taking about 2 to 6 tablets a day. And the efficacy of this, actually from overall lowering oxidative stress in the body, we're seeing anywhere from 28% to 32% decrease in oxidative stress levels per a single tablet. And this lasts for about 3 hours before the body returns to baseline.
Really? So the so one tablet will last for 3 hours? Is that what you're saying?
Everybody's oxidative stress levels are very unique and different, obviously due to what the body is exposed to per individual. Now, what we've seen due to measurements is an average of 28 to 32% reduction in an average of 3 hours. And so you don't want to take this.
What are we reducing? Reduction of?
Of oxidative stress, which is the free radicals accumulation within the body, which is the cause of impact or the negative impact upon body function and disease.
Oh, so you may have still the stress, but it won't affect the body in the same way, is what you're saying, right? I mean, the stress, the cause of the stress isn't going away, whatever that is, right?
Well, an easy way to think about it is because it neutralizes the free radical, it lowers the oxidative stress levels in the body. And what's really interesting about molecular hydrogen, whether you're using it as an effervescing tablet and you're drinking it, or you're drinking hydrogen saturated water, or you're inhaling it or IV administration, what's happening is we're seeing the overall level of oxidative stress decrease. And what's happening is the internal antioxidant system in the body is performing better because it does have cell signaling effects, and you're seeing the body reach a level of homeostasis. And obviously we all know that when in homeostasis, the body can heal and perform to its potential. So what we're experiencing with the tablet is administering it one every 3 to 5 hours has an accumulative effect of decreasing oxidative stress at a daily level. And this is not a product where you want to take, you know, one for 30 days and everything goes away. This is a product that is designed for life itself. And it's part of creating life, actually, as far part of the four building blocks.
Let me just ask you, is there any way, other way of getting hydrogen besides this product?
You can actually create it in the gut. When you eat complex carbohydrates, such as cruciferous or broccoli or, you know, the good stuff as part of any kind of raw vegan diet. In the small intestine, in the gut, we actually create molecular hydrogen naturally. So this is part of life itself. What has been really interesting is the discovery of this. And now, you know, companies are producing these products to increase methods of administration to get into the body at a better level and a faster level and a deeper level. For example, you know, I was with Dr. Jane Goldberg in New York recently, where I saw you originally. There's a hydrogen bath that's absolutely phenomenal, and that's created through electrolysis. The inhaler that I support, there's an inhalation device that is simply electrolysis, and you're breathing a percentage of hydrogen gas. And then the tablet I have, you drop a tablet in water, and it's simply, it's an elemental magnesium that reacts with any non-carbonated solution, and it breaks down into, it actually creates hydrogen gas. Like, you can see a cloud of hydrogen nanobubbles in this formula, and it effervesces within 90 seconds. There's not another product like this on the market. It's absolutely stunning. And as an athlete, you can drop it in a water bottle and go on a run. As an autistic child, you can put it in apple juice and take it before school and reduce your Ritalin dosages. As as a average human being that wants to push potential, you can take 2 to 4 a day and actually experience, you know, just overall improved health and wellness as a brainiac like myself, like to hack your brain. I'm taking about 6 a day intermittently to allow, you know, both right and left continue to fire like it's firing. It with me personally.
Are there any negative side effects for taking too much of this? I mean, do people get too hyper?
No, it's not me being too hyper. Actually, it's 100% safe due to the byproduct being water. You can't overdose. However, you don't want to take too much all at once because your body will excrete it naturally via gas coming out of your mouth like a burp or out of your back end, pardon my language, or even through your skin. There's been measurements.
You mean there's like a detox sort of effect from this? Is it detoxing?
There's an app. There actually is a detoxificant effect of this. And I also work with far infrared sauna therapy. And I'm working with a lot of clinics that actually allow or that are suggesting to drop a tablet in a good neutral pH balanced water to support detox. Drop a tablet in neutrally balanced water, pH of 7 preferably, or just purified water. And then take that about 10 minutes before you get into the far infrared sauna. And it will actually assist with, obviously, sweat deprivation. When you're removing heavy metals and chemicals and even mold, the body's sweating it out. So you're providing that hydration level of it, but it's also supporting the system from detoxification element of it because, again, you're increasing the performance of your internal antioxidant system to help remove the free radical that's being released at that cellular level due to far infrared therapy.
I don't think the Relax infrared sauna has any EMFs. Does it on your?
I have tested that, so I can't speak to it. But it's a good unit on the go.
It is. Well, it's a good, I use it all the time. But anyway, if you do the molecular hydrogen and then go into the sauna and then you'll have a much more intense detox experience, you're saying?
Detox and hydrating, yes.
And hydrating. So you drink the water, you put a couple of tablets in, you drink, you know, a glass of the water after you've built up to a couple of tablets, of course, and then you go into the sauna and then you just kind of release a lot of old stuff.
Going back to far infrared therapy, it removes the heavy metals and chemicals from the cellular level due to the level of wavelength of light. You know, it's that band of light that we can't see, but we can feel as heat. And it resonates the water within the cell, encouraging the the toxin to drop out. And it's released into the bloodstream, and then we sweat it out. Now, if you can use molecular hydrogen to support this, it will assist with the removal of the toxin, but it will also increase the hydrating level of the body when you're, you know, sweating all that out. Because a common side effect of far infrared therapy is lack of hydration because you're losing so much water in the body. Now, if you can take hydrogen and use it to attach to these toxins as a free radical scavenger and hydrate as a byproduct. Remember, the hydrogen molecule is attaching to the free radical and the byproduct is water. It's a beautiful situation. And then what I also recommend, I've been working with quite a few brain clinics, and they're even allowing the inhalation device to be administered during the far infrared sauna session. So typically there's a little bit of a gap of space in the sauna to allow free air or, you know, fresh air to come in. So it's not that stuffy experience. And all you do is you drop a cannula through and you can actually breathe this stuff while you're doing a sauna session. And the breathing component of an inhaler is highly beneficial for the lungs, the heart, and the brain. And the lungs, heart, and brain are top 3 locations of oxidative stress. The eyes are another top location of oxidative stress as well. But the lungs, the heart, and the brain, since we use them constantly, the oxidative stress even created by just breathing alone, it's highly beneficial to allow hydrogen gas to be entered in the body and the lungs, heart, and eye, or sorry, the lungs, heart, and brain to, you know, defend against neurodegenerative diseases, to support the lungs and the job of the heart. You know, in China, actually, at a great company called Askaway, they're administering hydrogen via inhalation in hospitals to reduce cardiac arrest effects. Studies all over throughout Asia, because that's primarily where hydrogen has been discovered and beneficial, and studies are being done daily. The Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cardiac arrest, oxidative stress in the lungs, overall athlete performance, you name it, defending against radiation, support, anything that if you look up a disease and then say, let's say, autism and oxidative stress, that it has an opportunity for hydrogen to actually be of benefit. And that's something that's really powerful for any of the listeners to understand, where does hydrogen have an impact and where does hydrogen be of benefit? It's actually coming from anything that is associated with oxidative stress, which is a free radical, which is everything we're exposed to daily. And that's why we're so excited about molecular hydrogen, because it's really, it's endless. We're really experiencing just so many areas of application, from cardiovascular disease to chronic respiratory diseases to cerebrovascular diseases, Alzheimer's, influenza, pneumonia, diabetes. It really has an endless potential as a medical gas because of its immediate applications.
Yes, no, I appreciate all this. The most important thing is tell people how to get this, how to find it, where to find it. You know, how do they contact you?
Yeah, so let's get into that. There's quite a few companies out there, but it's about really understanding what is best. And there's a therapeutic dosage that we have to keep in mind. The therapeutic dosage is 1.6 parts per million. And to reach 1.6 parts per million, you know, typical water that you drink is 0.000002 parts per million. Now, if you can add hydrogen to it and reach 1.6, that is a saturated level where you can receive hydrogen benefits. So you've got tablets, you've got inhalers, you've got IV, you've got, they're doing baths. But from Vital Reaction, it has the top tablet available to simply have a daily dose of molecular hydrogen. You drop a tablet.
The name of the company you're saying is what?
Vital Reaction. And you can go to their website, which is www.vital-reaction.com. And I believe you've been taking a bit of this. Can I hear a little bit about your experience with the tablet?
Well, thank you for asking. Yeah, I've been experimenting with it. I usually take it in the morning, and I do feel clearer. I do feel like it's helping my breathing and a little energy levels and clarity. So I just started it. So I am noticing some nice significance difference. I'd love to take the inhaler. Send me the inhaler, because I think that...
Well, that's about a $3,500 unit, but we can work something out of it.
You don't make small inhalers? Oh. I thought they made like bottle size inhalers. I didn't realize it was a $3,500 unit.
We have a 2% inhaler, and they have a 7% inhaler. And then there's the tablets. The tablets are actually more effective than the inhalation device. So that's a good thing, a good problem to have, because the tablets are only about $64. But I believe you actually have a wonderful code that your listeners can use to support, you know, to provide a discount.
Wait, if people are listening to this, they go to which website? Your website? What's the website?
www.vital-reaction.com.
And they put in the code New Realities. Is that it?
Yes. NEWREALTIES, all capitals, New Realities, and they will receive a 10% discount across the board for all products. Again, the tablets are the most efficient and most powerful ways to administer hydrogen to the body. There's 60 tablets in the bottle, and you simply drop a tablet throughout the day. I would suggest every 5 hours based on my own personal experiences, but 2 to 4 tablets a day on an empty stomach, starting off, you know, 1 in the morning, maybe 1 in the afternoon, or before you go for a workout, or after a workout, or 1 before, you know, late afternoon for an energy pick me up. And then I highly recommend actually taking a tablet before you go to bed, because again, this is going back to homeostasis. And at night, what does the body want to do? It wants to enter a REM state and it wants to get good sleep. So it does support that. And I personally have anxiety through the roof, and it's allowed me to have a consistent sleeping pattern. And it's really helped with my overall body's performance, and it's actually enhanced it.
Nice. Well, I'm glad it's so good. Should we try to get Tyler LeBron on the phone? LeBaron? He just tell us a little bit about who he is.
Yeah, let's see if he's available. Tyler is one of the leading researchers with the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation. And the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation, going back to kind of what I was saying in the beginning, is a nonprofit that is designated to performing studies and research globally to support the accurate education and awareness of this breakthrough medical gap.
Okay, to continue our discussion about molecular hydrogen, is the founder, executive director of the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation Institute, and that's Tyler LeBaron. He has a background in biochemistry, but he's really understands the science. I mean, Sarah's just told us a little bit about the product and the overall usage, but Tyler, thanks for being here today, and I really am interested in, first of all, why has hydrogen been so neglected for so many years? How come it's just only now coming on the market as something important for the body?
A great question. There's probably a lot of answers. I don't know that I know all of them. But if we first just consider the fact that, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If you were to ask me as a scientist, hey, would hydrogen gas have therapeutic effects? I would probably say no, it shouldn't, because hydrogen gas is it's a neutral, non-ionic, hydrophobic molecule that's very non-reactive in the body. Of course, it's reactive with oxygen, and you know that's rocket fuel, right? But it's not. It doesn't have the characteristics like other gaseous acidulating molecules like hydrogen sulfide or carbon monoxide or nitric oxide. So it is a little strange that it does have these effects. And the effects were first reported in 1975 by an article and published in Science using hyperbaric hydrogen therapy and in an animal model of melanoma tumors. And they found that hydrogen could regress the growth of the melanoma tumors. But of course, it's not very practical to do hyperbaric hydrogen therapy or treatments. And so that's probably why it didn't get a lot of press or a lot of attention or a lot of attraction at that time in 1975. However, in 2007, there was an article published in Nature Medicine, again, very top respected journal, which showed that hydrogen was effective against the ischemia reperfusion damage done to the brain and to the body of an animal model that was induced by middle cerebral artery occlusion. In other words, you know, stopping the blood, and that, of course, is going to cause a lot of damage, specifically a high amount of oxidative stress, and hydrogen was very effective then. And that attracted a lot of researchers because that's something that can clinically be done. We can inhale hydrogen gas, and we can do it at levels below the flammability level. And in fact, the Japanese government have recently approved the use of inhalation of hydrogen gas as a medical procedure for the treatment of post-cardiac arrest patients. And there's a very large ongoing study right now with 10 different hospitals and a few hundred subjects in really trying to determine the benefits of molecular hydrogen. And so far, the preliminary results are very promising. But the fact is, hydrogen gas is still very much in its infancy. There's only 1,000 scientific publications or so which is not a it's not a lot when you look at the academic perspective of, you know, say nitric oxide, which now there's tens of thousands of publications and other areas out there. It's a new emerging biomedical field, but I would say it's growing exponentially and very quickly because of the very powerful and strong results, both in animal and in human clinical studies, showing the benefits of hydrogen. So I think the awareness is growing actually quite quickly.
Yeah, so it's time now to come forward. But, you know, what I don't understand exactly, maybe you can explain it, how, I mean, hydrogen's a gas. How do you put it into a tablet and make it stable? I mean, that's a part of the science I don't understand. Can you, do you get that, or is that beyond your science?
Well, that's not, yeah, we don't do with products or anything like that. But, I mean, I can answer that question because it's a chemistry one. But, yeah, it is impossible to put a gas inside of a tablet and make it a solid like that. That defies the laws of nature. But what when people talk about hydrogen tablets, in this case, they're talking about hydrogen producing tablets. So water is already H2O, and the tablet can react with the water to produce hydrogen gas. And that's, if you looked at the reaction, for example, if you drop the tablet in water, you would actually see lots of hydrogen gas bubbles being produced, which you could then capture and ignite on fire. That's the hydrogen gas. So the tablet does not contain hydrogen gas. It produces hydrogen gas by reacting with water, similar to electrolysis, which is the primary method of making mass production of hydrogen.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So as the executive director, where do you think this whole thing is going as far as, you know, the foundation, the what do you want to do with this product? I mean, what do you see for, like, the population as far as molecular hydrogen?
Well, you know, our goal, with the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation, which was established to help grow the science and things, we're actually converting now to Molecular Hydrogen Institute. It will be our main focus instead of a 501c6, a 501c3 nonprofit, as a science-based research organization, because that's really what we do. We're involved in actively engaging in the research, collaboration, and promoting the education and awareness of hydrogen as a therapeutic medical gas. So we don't have products. We don't sell things. We focus on the research and the biomedical areas of molecular hydrogen. And this is, you know, where we see this is going. Well, hydrogen in general, I think if you look at the industry and the hydrogen research that's been done since 2007, it is growing quite exponentially. And it's very uncommon or unheard of that you can come across a molecule that is both very safe, that has no known contraindications, it's very natural, like hydrogen, and also has such promising therapeutic beneficial effects in over 170 different human and animal diseases, and essentially every organ in the human body. It's not very common. So I think it's our responsibility to promote this research and this awareness of hydrogen so we can do more studies, more clinical studies, and really determine for which case is it the most effective.
Talk about some of the research. Where is it the most therapeutic? I mean, Sarah mentioned some of that, but where do you find it most useful if that's what your research includes? I'm interested in that.
Yeah, well, if we look at the main actions of hydrogen, it's two primary areas it really helps with, and that is with excessive inflammation and excessive oxidation. So we have oxidative stress, too much free radicals, and we have inflammatory diseases or too high levels of pro-inflammatory mediators like COX-2 upregulation or various myokines or cytokine activity. And hydrogen can mitigate both of these. And that's why it has such a wide range or ubiquitous effect in so many different diseases, is because pretty much every disease out there has some pathogenic etiology and its progression with inflammation and oxidation. And hydrogen can help with both of those. So if we look at, for example, some of the clinical studies, rheumatoid arthritis, well, that study was with molecular hydrogen was shown to be very effective. In fact, some of the patients in that study, they were basically symptom-free. They would not have been rated as having arthritis anymore because of how effective the hydrogen was.
How does it actually work in the hydrogen? I mean, how would you say it, how does it actually heal or get or therapeutically address the arthritis? How does it work?
So certainly one of the areas of research that needs a lot more investigation and something I'm very interested in, we don't know the exact primary targets and underlying mechanisms and drivers of these therapeutic effects. And it's not uncommon. I mean, a lot of the pharmaceutical drugs and other supplements out there, we see many human and animal studies that are effective, but we don't know exactly their mode of action. I mean, even Tylenol, we don't know exactly how it works. We just know what it does. And similar with hydrogen, we're not exactly sure how it works, we just know that it does. And we see that hydrogen acts as a cell signal modulator, for example. So it's able to downregulate things like NADPH oxidase, which when it's activated produces higher levels of superoxide, which then can activate, say, tumor necrosis factor alpha, which then activates the transcription factor NFKB, which then activates or sends signals to release a whole bunch of cytokines. So by hydrogen, you know, acting on these different pathways, inflammatory pathways, and altering protein phosphorylation cascades as a signal modulator, we're able to see that it does indeed attenuate a number of these pathological conditions.
You talked about superoxide. So Sarah also talked about it being a detoxifier of the free radicals. You've seen that in your research, haven't you?
Sure. That's one of the things that hydrogen is good at, is helping to mitigate the oxidative stress. And it does so most likely primarily through its cell modulating activities at being able to prevent the excessive production of the oxidation that's occurring, of the free radicals that are being produced. Superoxide, hydroxyl radical, for example, the study of Nature Medicine that showed that hydrogen could selectively reduce the hydroxyl radical, and to a lesser extent, peroxynitrite, which is also a very potent oxidant that's very damaging to the body. And by hydrogen reducing these very toxic radicals, that's going to directly benefit the disease or you know, that individual. And it's critical, though, that it is selective and that it's not going to reduce or decrease the normal basal levels or needed levels of free radicals or reactive oxygen species. We need free radicals. Nitric oxide is a free radical, but that's critical for vasodilation.
I never heard that we need free radicals. That's interesting. What do we need?
They're essential to life. Exactly. Yeah.
What do free radicals do for the body?
Yeah. So free radicals, basically just an unpaired electron, and not just free radicals, but reactive oxygen species, which is a larger class. Not all reactive oxygen species are free radicals. Like hydrogen peroxide is not a free radical, but it's a reactive oxygen species. But like nitric oxide, that does vasodilation, right? That's how Viagra works, for example. And nitric oxide is by definition a free radical. Hydrogen peroxide is used by our immune system, our white blood cells, to kill the bacteria. Superoxide is a critical master regulator, if you will, activator of master regulators. For when you exercise, you need to get more mitochondria, and superoxide production induces mitochondrial biogenesis via activating these transcription factors. Free radicals are so essential to life, and that's why when you look at this, the clinical studies, the clinical studies using, say, beta carotene, vitamin A, vitamin E, vitamin C, they've actually had to stop a number of these clinical trials because the people taking the antioxidants were getting cancer and dying faster than those on placebo. And that may be because those antioxidants at such high levels they are taking were neutralizing the beneficial reactive oxygen species that we need for normal growth. And other studies have further shown that taking antioxidants can negate or blunt, abolish the effects of exercise training because the increased free radicals that are produced also mediate the benefits of exercise training. And so it's so important that we have these free radicals. So we don't want to neutralize all of them. We only want to do two things. One, keep them at their homeostatic level, the range they're supposed to be in. And two, get rid of the really bad free radicals or oxidants, such as hydroxyl radical and peroxynitrile.
Hydrogen does that. It gets rid of the bad free radicals and keeps the other free radicals. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That's exactly right. So hydroxyl radicals, peroxynitrite, it's going to selectively reduce those ones and get them out of there. But superoxide, nitric oxide, hydrogen peroxide, it's not going to decrease those unless they are higher, much higher than they're supposed to be. Then hydrogen can decrease them either via its cell modulating activities by down-regulating some of the enzymes that produce them, or via activation of the NRF2 pathway, the NRF2 pathway, which is a transcription factor that binds to the ARE of the DNA and induces the transcription of your body's own antioxidants like glutathione, superoxide dismutase, etc. So hydrogen can actually increase our body's own antioxidant self-defense system by activating this pathway.
Well, can you talk also, if your foundation has done research, the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation Institute has done research in anti-aging with the molecular hydrogen?
It depends on your definition of anti-aging, right? Of course, when you look at the fact that we look at Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease or cognitive impairments or metabolic syndrome, all of these are can be considered to some extent lifestyle or in age-related diseases, where clinical studies have shown that, yes, hydrogen can help with these conditions. And so in that case, yes, hydrogen is anti-aging. And if we look at other, you know, important anti-aging molecules, such as a SIRT3 expression or PGC1-alpha expression or the NAD plus to NADH ratio levels, hydrogen can improve all of these. And so in those regards, then certainly hydrogen is anti-aging. And if we look at some of the animal studies where we administer some sort of a toxin, whether it's radiation or environmental toxin, or if they have a genetic mutation, for example, well, often the average lifespan of the animals taking hydrogen water is significantly longer than the average lifespan of the placebo group. So again, in these cases, then certainly hydrogen is anti-aging.
It does have an impact on the mitochondria within the cell, you're saying, the hydrogen specifically.
Yeah, it appears to, for in a number of different ways, either with the mitochondria as it is, by increasing like the mitochondrial membrane potential, which is critical for the ATP production, or improving the complex activity so that you can actually make that membrane potential, the proton gradient. So it increases ATP production, which is, of course, that's the energy currency of the cell, adenosine triphosphate. And so that's very important, the mitochondria, protecting the mitochondria from oxidative damage, which would otherwise compromise the mitochondria. And that we also see a potential for mitochondrial biogenesis. We see increased markers of that through a PGC1-alpha, which induces mitochondrial biogenesis, more mitochondria. So, of course, mitochondria is so critical to the cell. It's very anti-aging. It's very beneficial. And yeah, it appears that hydrogen can help in those pathways.
Well, can you just talk about the research you're actually involved with the molecular hydrogen? Like, what's your particular focus of the studies that you're doing?
Well, my focus has always been the core actual molecular mechanisms of hydrogen and how it actually works at the cellular level. What is the primary target of hydrogen? And that's something that is an ongoing project, and hope we can have a publication next year. We did further our studies with the X-ray crystallography to see if we can get a protein structure to really see if we can prove our hypothesis is the primary target. And that would be very, very exciting if we can do that. Also working with showing hydrogen is effective in non-alcoholic fatty acid liver disease. Working on just preparing a manuscript for an animal study that we did on that. And hydrogen was very effective in preventing the the damage, the damage to the liver that occurs with the inflammation, the oxidation from having non-alcoholic fatty acid liver disease. Also involved in another study with exercise performance, a couple of those. And we also just submitted another article on hydrogen helping to prevent the development of autism and autism spectrum disorder.
Wow, that's interesting. There's also evidence, like as Sarah was saying, anti-inflammatory, anti-obesity, anti-allergy benefits. Have you done particular studies on any of that?
Yeah, I mean, some of, like I mentioned, with the non-alcoholic fatty acid liver disease, that would categorize and could be categorized in some of those areas with the inflammation or the metabolic area. But there are, on their website, we do list a number of these other human studies that have been done. I mean, we help and promote and do research, but all the research isn't done by us, right? I mean, I started the Milk Hydrogen Institute in 2013. Of course, by that time, there were already several hundred publications and a handful of human studies. And so now I'm just hoping to advance this research more. So most of the research is done, of course, by other universities and places, you know, in Europe and in Japan and China and even here in America.
I appreciate all the time and effort. I know that you're not particularly associated with any molecular hydrogen company, but there are some great ones out there. Anything you want to say about molecular hydrogen? They're not all the same.
I mean, it is true. If you consider the fact that hydrogen gas, it's a neutral small molecule, small molecule in the universe. So you can't bottle hydrogen gas, for example, you can't make hydrogen water and then bottle it in plastic containers. And so there, you know, if you ever see hydrogen water in plastic containers at the store, well, you know, it doesn't have hydrogen gas in it. And that's important. There are ready to drink hydrogen products available that, you know, that comes in, say, like aluminum pouches or cans, you know, and various hydrogen H2 beverages and that you can get. Like I said, it comes in cans or pouches, and you can find those. And then there's several other products out there. There's the big blog who are promoting now their alkalizers or water ionizers and things as hydrogen products. They some of those can produce hydrogen gas, but they were all developed for specifically alkaline water, not for hydrogen. Hydrogen gas, molecular hydrogen, has nothing to do with pH. It does not increase or decrease the pH. It doesn't convert into electrons and protons. It has nothing to do with alkaline water. It's a totally separate area. And so these machines out there that make alkaline ionized water, well, they do make alkaline water because they do electrolysis. And when you do electrolysis, you do produce hydrogen gas. And so some of that alkaline water may have in some cases hydrogen gas in it, which accounts for the therapeutic benefits of drinking that water, but it's not the alkaline property. Now, if you're ever in doubt, you can actually measure the concentration of hydrogen from the various products out there using a redox titration reagent, H2 Blue from H2SciencesInc.com, where it's specifically manufactured. They only sell that reagent specifically to measure the concentration of hydrogen for researchers and the industry.
Is that what you use when you're doing your research, that kind of measurement of the product?
It depends on the research. So if I'm doing just a basic or not a basic in the scientific sense, if I'm doing a clinical type study or something where I just need to know the concentration of hydrogen being administered, then yeah, that's great because it's been shown to be very accurate, and I'm need to get within, you know, 1.6 milligrams per liter or higher or lower, whatever type of human study it is. But when it comes to like cell culture research or different things, then typically we use like a gas chromatography or a specific hydrogen electrode that is required to use like a standard calibration curve. And then you can measure the unknown. You have to make that. But for the normal layman, these gas chromatography machines are, you know, $100,000, and the correct electrodes are over $10,000. So using this redox titration reagent is a great way to just know what the concentration of hydrogen is that you're going to be drinking. You know, if you're, you know, for us, we measure very low concentrations, like in the blood, right? Like talking about like in the at the micromolar level. So we have to use different instrumentation.
Well, just one last question. Can you talk about the different use of the gas, like the inhaler versus the pill form that Vital Dash Reaction is selling? Is there a difference in its effectiveness on the body?
Yeah, probably that we really need more research to understand the optimal dosing and which way is more effective or less effective. What we do know is, of course, the inhalation of hydrogen gas has different pharmacokinetics and has difference a different route of administration. It can get to different organs and things that maybe the drinking hydrogen-rich water doesn't do as much. We see for sure that hydrogen-rich water is very effective. In one study, actually Nagoya University, which is where I did some early research back in 2013, they found that inhalation, continuous inhalation of hydrogen gas was not effective in a Parkinson's disease model, but intermittent inhalation was effective, but still not near as effective as drinking hydrogen-rich water. So you can't, it's like an apple-oranges comparison. There's another article done at looking at mRNA levels and protein levels from different routes of administration and showing an additive effects from the two, as well as different biomolecules that were influenced, whether from drinking hydrogen-rich water or from inhalation. So we need more research, as I was saying, to really know, okay, for this disease, it's best to inhale this concentration of hydrogen for this amount of time, and for this one, it's this amount of water. You know, we need more. Like I said, it's still in infancy. We only have 1,000 scientific publications. We need a lot more research to really understand and elucidate the molecular mechanisms and optimal dosing of molecular hydrogen. But what we do know is, one, it is very safe. It's very natural. So there's no concern about taking or doing human studies. It makes it very easy to do clinical human studies on hydrogen because it is very safe. And two, the preliminary results in animal and human studies are really quite promising.
Would bathing in hydrogen-rich water, you know, drop the tablets into a bath, would that do anything or no? You have to ingest it.
No, there's one of the methods of administration. I mean, I guess it depends on the concentration that you're looking at. There are several studies showing that bathing in hydrogen-rich water is very effective. There's one in an exercise, for example, that showed a decreased and delayed onset muscle soreness, a human study on that. There's some other ones on just overall skin conditions and things. Hydrogen gas can diffuse through the skin into the blood. And so we've actually measured increases in breath hydrogen in the exhalation of the breath simply by bathing in hydrogen water, because hydrogen can penetrate so easily, better than anything else. And it's interesting, if you even look at, you know, your healing waters from around the world, some of those waters have actually been documented to have small amounts of molecular hydrogen. So perhaps some of the reports given about the therapeutic effects of bathing in such and such spring water could be because that spring water had hydrogen gas and thus you got the benefits.
Well, that was my feeling, was to drop some of those tablets in a bath because they do phosphoresce, you know, they do bubble up. So I was kind of experimenting with that. So thank you for telling me that. Maybe I'll continue that.
It might just be the concentration. I'm just not, you know, you have to see, is the concentration high enough?
Do you have a website for your foundation?
Yes, molecularhydrogenfoundation.org or Molecular Hydrogen Institute. But if you just go to molecularhydrogenfoundation.org, you can see more of some of the activity that we're doing, some of the research that's out there, some of the scientific results or articles that are linked to the primary literature on NIH, PubMed, and other websites.
So it's very exciting. You really believe in this. This is really a future there for this new supplement on the market. There's something going on, I get from what you're saying.
Yeah, we need to do a lot more research, but absolutely, you know, with the publications that we have now and the results we're seeing, it is very promising and it's very intriguing, and it is a responsibility, I think, to help grow the awareness and the research on hydrogen to really see how much benefit it can have and for who is the most effective, because something that has such a low toxicity and has such great benefits in Parkinson's and the cognitive impairments, dementia, which we just did some more human studies on that, it's very promising.
Thank you. And for people who want the product or to talk or reach Sarah Adams, you can go to vital-reaction.com. You can actually purchase the product there as well. If you're listening to this program and you want to try that, check it out. Let me know your results. Thanks, Tyler, for being on the show. And
you're welcome.
And thank you, Sarah, for being there as the first guest. This has been New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. Thank you for listening. If you want to order the product of Molecular Hydrogen, go to www.vital-reaction.com and put in the code New Realities, all one word, all in capital letters. And we'll see you in 2 weeks with James Gilliland. I'm going to end with another song by Duke Williams and the Extremes called Night Before the Future. Thanks for listening.
On the night before the future, like the moon's before the sun, on the hour before tomorrow, my mind became undone. On the night before the future, like the light. Second before the morning, the world came apart. Ow! So what you do when you read today? Did you go way back and take it away? Or did you think you're better off staying in bed and not doing a thing but relaxing your head? Just remember the things you see might not quite be your own reality. The dimensions exist within the inner. And then you know you're just a beginner. Because life just starts, and when it ends, turns around, and then it bends. Nothing left.